You're listening to Sideshow Network.
Why didn't they laugh?
You suck!
That's not funny.
Well, hello, everyone, and welcome to another episode of Why Didn't They Laugh? I'm your host, Owen Benjamin, and I'm here to discuss the knowledge one gains from the silence after a joke does not work. I was really planning on doing something incredible this week, but technology just screwed me. It did. I recorded every set in Atlanta this last weekend, and I did 7 shows, 8 if you count this one 1 a.m. show. Good times. And the contrast between the shows were unbelievable. I was going to call it a tale of two shows, and it was going to show like how great one room can be, and then how absolutely miserable the next one could be. And it was going to be about the consent of a crowd. Like, as a comedian, how you feel you get consent. Well, I've been working with getting my sets off my phone now for 9 straight hours. It says I use 58 gigs out of my 60 gigs, which isn't true. I'm at about 17. So I've been troubleshooting all day to no avail. I could only get one set off my phone. I will get more sets off my phone. I did a Vimeo. That was a mess. Tried a Dropbox mess. And I'm like tech savvy, guys. This is it was a disaster. Anyway, I did get one set off the phone that I'm going to analyze, and it was one of the better sets. But one was so miserable that it was incredible. Like, I wanted to show you all the audio of just 9 people staring at me and me just being like, is this what you want? And I would get them at times. But when I went on stage, they didn't clap. And that was, my point was going to be talking about consent. Like, the crowd must can give you consent. It's a lot like sex, where it's like every step you take, you must get consent. And if you don't, I mean, forced consent is an oxymoron. So anyway, this show is still going to be good. It's called Transparency. I'm going to, should I call it transparency, or should the euphoria of the euphoria of an honest life? Because I wrote a post on Facebook about that recently, and it ties in with this week's South Park. So this episode is going to be a combination of some jokes from Atlanta, and also discussion of last night's South Park, which, as always, was incredible. So I'm not doing 2 episodes this week. I'm just doing 1 because our other podcast, Case Closed, Beers Open, right now is on the front of iTunes, like iTunes homepage. So that's really, really going hard. And I have to make another episode of that. And I've been on the road, and my wife's family's in town, and my phone is a fucking piece of shit. So yeah, I'm just trying to do the best I can here. So anyway, let's start things off by discussing South Park. South Park, this week, the Danish finally cracked the code of how to figure out everyone's web history. And by using this this algorithm for emojis. So all the trolls are going to be caught. And you see, like, one of the trolls gets caught, and he gets set fire to, and everyone is just, it's a disaster. There's divorces everywhere. People are like just rioting in the streets because everyone has skeletons. And even Cartman, who's in this like really awesome relationship now, you know, where he's so like cutesy and awesome with his new girlfriend. And like, he's always like, she's so smart and she's so funny. Get over it. You know, he's happy finally. But he remembers that the summer before, he tweeted that girls aren't funny after watching Ghostbusters, the remake of Ghostbusters. So he lies to his girlfriend. And his girlfriend's like, it's okay, baby. You give me no reason to not trust you, you know? And regardless, this new algorithm will always just show what everyone has said forever. And he just spirals. And then you have the Donald Trump character has this like really honest moment where he tells the American people what he really is and believes. And the reason I'm focusing so much on this is because in this world we live in now of nonstop information, it's information overload. It's information on steroids. Look at what I'm facing right now with my phone. I have all these videos and all this audio and all this amazing stuff, and my phone physically can't handle it. It can't even, I plug it into the computer, it's just error. It's just gigs and gigs and gigs. 6 gigs for one set on my phone. 1 set, 6 gigs. That was more information than existed in the entire world in 1998. Just really think about that. Anyway, so in this world of information overload, it is so important to be honest. And I wrote this article, post, whatever you want to call it, like a little over a week ago. Yeah, over a week ago. And it's right up. It's exactly what happened in South Park. Because if you're honest, you have all the power and all the happiness. And you sleep great at night. And you have to just be honest. Okay, so this is called the euphoria of an honest life. When Amy and I were first dating, I lied to her. When I met her, I was happily single. Not always a happy person, just great at being single. As a young comedian who wasn't at the age yet where it was creepy, I had lots of sex. Random. Not the type of random sex where you lie to someone or take advantage of people. The kind where you're waking up next to a naked woman you met the night before and you can hear her on the phone with a friend saying, "Yeah, he's still here. Yeah, the guy who played the song I love. Yeah, the tall one. Yeah, kind of smells a little, but hang on, I'll ask him. Oh, and before you catch your plane, you want to play the piano for my friend at the bar she's working at? Is that cool? Then I'll drop you off." I don't think most men know this existence. Not sex is power over someone or conquest or even an affirmation of your attractiveness, but the sex that lets you know you're just as much a placeholder in someone else's life who is in between relationships or just in between needs of affection as they are to you. This is not a brag. In fact, when time and time again I realized I wasn't breaking anyone's hearts and they'd still keep in touch with me, I had to be honest with myself that I was a back burner. I was back burnered for sex by women who never saw nor wanted a future with me. I didn't have all the sex thrown at me because of anything that made me better than other men. I didn't have anything special about me physically or emotionally. It's just that I was fun and safe. After full shows, I was no longer registering as a stranger to people. But I was for sure leaving their city soon, and my overall vibe wasn't clingy. I was a perfect one-night stand for normal women who had normal relationships, who were currently single, and wanted to kind of replicate sex with someone they cared about in a way that wouldn't end their life or create a stalker. So that was me. Having enough sex and good times to not face the reality of my loneliness, while at the same time never feeling that next level of life that only long-term and honest love can give you. I met Amy, who turned out to be the love of my life, but there is a fallacy out there that things happen in defined moments. They don't. We see the monkey become the human in 5 stages, where one day they wake up a Homo erectus and the next they change into Homo sapiens. Now, that's not how it happened. There are points in evolution where all of those monkey people existed simultaneously, fighting for the same food source. Fortunately, the Homo sapiens won, but there was no defined stages. In the beginning, I was still that guy I just described. Even as I fought tooth and nail to not physically put my penis inside another human, I was still that person. I justified to myself a million ways, but after I started dating Amy, being like that was dishonest. It was. This is when things got interesting and why I'm writing this. I'm not coming from a place of shame or regret. Amy isn't yelling, "Tell the world what you used to be, you piece of shit. I know what you did." In fact, we've never been better. We laugh about this shit now. I'm sharing this very personal experience because I have found sex and love metaphors work great for describing a phenomenon that hurts many aspects of our life that have become toxic to talk about. Amy knew. She'd see that I deleted stuff on my phone or my eye movement when I talked. She just knew somehow. So she started acting quote-unquote crazy. Every time I came in contact with a woman, she thought, oh, he's fucking that girl. Waitresses would ask me too many questions and she gripped a steak knife with white knuckles. She was crazy. Basically, all of her fears and paranoias were pretty much false. Specifically, I wasn't banging the waitress or my female friends. And I'd do that condescending laugh and say, you need to stop being crazy, Amy. You're a maniac. And she was crazy. But my soft and constant deceit caused it. Humans are slow and weak, with dull senses compared to the rest of the animal kingdom. Our strength comes in social intelligence. We know when we are being lied to, even if we can't figure out what that lie is. Our wonderful country of America is experiencing what Amy and I went through. We are being lied to, but don't have all the resources to figure it all out, so we become crazy. We latch on to idiotic conspiracy theories and insane people who claim they can burn down this house of lies and build something great. We are totally unstable, but it comes from actual lies. There is hope. People that knew Amy and I in that first year can't believe what our relationship has become. Once I started seeing the flashes of euphoria that an honest life would give me, over time I changed. Not me as a person, just my habits and ways of seeing the world. Every step I took towards transparency, I'd see her become less erratic. More transparency was more love. I can't believe I almost lost out on the greatest thing in my life because I wouldn't let go of a dying existence I no longer needed or wanted. When you're honest with your partner, you can reveal anything. They may be mad for a second, but that passes. You are no longer alone. If you aren't home at 3 a.m., they think, I hope he's okay, instead of, who is she or he? The level Amy and I are at now is unreal. Never thought it was possible. We still make out at bars when we can get out. We can argue, but not freak out. And at any moment I can be with her, I find a gift. Her jealousy is so gone, it's almost comedic. After one of my many Twitter spirals, she genuinely said, when you were into other women, do you think it made you focus less on politics? Oh, and you like puzzles. It used to be getting women to show you their vagina, and now it's figuring out all human nature. Maybe every now and then you should hook up with a chick just to stop reading tweets about the election. I couldn't stop laughing. She was dead serious. I told her I had no interest, but I really appreciated the idea. Instead, I got super into figuring out how to cook over fire. The best skills come from not wasting all of your life energy on sex with strangers. I also am getting really bueno at Espanol. Hillary Clinton will win the presidency. Vegas odds are 6-1. But that isn't when the fight is over. We have a deep-seated madness aimed at the structure of our government because we have been lied and cheated to for so many decades. Some respond with Stockholm Syndrome and repeat over and over again, I'm with her, she is great. You are bad, she is brave. As if they will be rewarded by their captors. Others listen to men promising to burn everything down. That's like stubbing your toe, so you chop off your leg. Compared to Trump, I'm glad Hillary will be our president if she actually tells us reality. If she faces the deep and spiritual cancer eating us alive and tells us something real, it would do so much. But if she keeps going on this path, in 2020, the anti-establishment option will magnify. If you don't release the forest of its dead wood, when the fire breaks out, everything burns. Please, please, President Hillary Clinton, the reboot of Bill, come clean. Tell us. Everyone is dealing with a part of themselves that they have outgrown that isn't good for them anymore. We will understand. Just tell us the truth, and we can slowly start to not act so crazy all the time. We are loving people. So I wrote that. And why does that apply to South Park? Because the level of self-deceit we are living right now is mind-blowing. And I feel fortunate that I can be one of the few people that don't have to live in self-deception. Last night, I wanted cookies and Amy wouldn't get me cookies. So I was just going through Facebook and I won't call him out. He's probably a good guy, but I posted this article that said, female stand-up comedians, you need to know. And he said, for anyone that thinks women aren't funny, A, you're an asshole. B, you haven't seen a lot of comedy. I know at least 20 of these comics personally, and I know that they are hilarious. ... Okay, so South Park, so, Cartman's wearing a t-shirt that says, I'm with smart and funny, and she says, I'm with stupid. It's funny. But I thought that he was making fun of that. I wrote, are you doing an impression of Cartman's character this season? Because if not, this is the gayest, most condescending to women post I've ever seen. His response, really? Wasn't my intention. A lot of my friends are on the list. Was trying to promote them. Out of curiosity, Owen, what makes it condescending or gay I can deal with, but how condescending? I'm perplexed. I wrote, obviously women are funny. That's like saying this guy is totally not a rapist. I can totally attest to the fact he isn't a rapist. It's one thing if you were defending someone being attacked. Like if someone said Chelsea Peretti is only famous because she's a woman. If a man told those jokes, they'd work at Applebee's. Then if you posted that, I understand. But it seems that you are defending a group of people that don't need defense, which actually implies you believe the opposite is true. These are the rabbit holes I go down. It's like saying my friend is safe around women. If anyone says he isn't, they're a liar. That clearly and obviously has the opposite effect. Then a guy named Larry jumps in. Suppose while we're at it, I'd like to know what is gay. Gay like happy? I guess, but it doesn't sound like that's what you meant. It seems like you're defending, he quotes me, don't know what rock you live under, but female comics are attacked relentlessly for not being funny. I wrote, Larry, I don't live under a rock. Your name is Larry. That's insane. You have an insane name. Larry writes, if you have Wi-Fi under your rock, sign up for Twitter and see what female comics put up with. Larry, I'll take it. I have an insane brain, too, that I wouldn't wish on anyone. So what makes this post gay? I wrote, Larry, I obviously have a Twitter. I almost never comment on posts in a negative way. This one was just so crazy. Larry wrote, that's cool. I respect your right to be wrong. Doesn't make you any less wrong, though. Then Larry says, why did you put my name in quotations? It's my real name. You are not crazy? Or some shit, I don't know. I wrote, not gay as in homosexual, obviously. Gay as in gay, and you know what I mean by that. I'm not being mean. I'm just, you know, trying to jar you out of this hall of mirrors you've stumbled into. You totally aren't a rapist. But if anyone says you are, they are totally wrong. People constantly say everyone named Larry is a rapist or a pedophile, but they totally aren't. What else is going on? So then I checked out his profile, and I wrote, you wrote for Playboy and Men's Health. Ha, 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 ha. I write ha for, like, ever. He wrote, yeah. You wrote for what? Facebook comments? I wrote, I can't stop laughing, Larry. I'm sorry. He wrote, well, that makes one of us funny. I wrote, a female white knight who writes for smut. Ha, 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 ha. I can't stop laughing. Dude, this is a sketch. Maybe you can pitch it to Men's Humor. Ha, 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 ha. And then quote Larry. Larry Wright, having a blast watching you reply to yourself. No one, no more. Come on, one more. Enough. Original guy who posted this said, well, the thing is, Owen, there are still a lot of assholes that claim women aren't funny, and I, trying to dispel said myth, tried to give some kudos to my sisters in arms, so to speak. So if you find it condescending, that's on you. I wrote, your post was a brag that you know them, and we both know that. You know 20 of them, and women are funny, okay? That is so dumb. Then I wrote, they don't need you, Duncan. I actually know the people that on this list, and they find that nauseating and condescending. Then Larry jumps in. Then this other guy, I'm not going to say his name, but shame you don't know 20 Owens, so you could ditch this one and still have some backup Owens. Doesn't make sense, but I wrote, you want social brownie points. Everyone sees it. Everyone. It's hilarious. Larry, that makes no sense. Larry says, sure it does. It's math. I wrote, your sister's in arms? It isn't a war. It's comedy. And then the other guy says, well, that's one opinion. I, for one, am always happy when I see my friend succeed. I was happy when Steve had a show that you were on and I plugged it until it got canceled. But yeah, I'm a narcissist. I wrote, ha, 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 ha. When are you going to write for Hustler? I was writing back to Larry on that part. And then I write to the other guy, if you helped more, maybe it wouldn't have been canceled. He wrote, sorry, I didn't believe enough, Tinkerbell. See, they're both being dicks to me at this point. I love it, though. Then Larry says, here's the thing. All I need to know about this Owen is it seems like you are defending a group of people that you don't need defense. That couldn't be more false. I wrote, watch tonight's South Park. I promise I'm not being as much of a dick as this sounds. I thought you were honestly doing a Cartman impression of chicks are funny, get over it. And then the other guy says, well, I'm honestly not as condescending as you're making this. I wrote, the defense is the offense. How do you not see that? And Larry, of course, says, Playboy thought I was funny. Seems like a weird thing to apologize for, but Owen, I'm so sorry Playboy thought I was funny. I wrote, Larry, imagine if someone kept saying, Larry is smart, okay? Geez, it makes you feel dumb. It's the opposite. And then I said, I was in a movie where I was the butler of the Playboy Mansion. I'm not against Playboy, but it was a chick in your male, it was a chink in your male feminist white knight armor of bullshit. And then the other guy says, I don't think I was offering a defense, so don't need, defense is flawed. I wrote, only when attack, all right. So it keeps going. I will, yeah, here we go. Oh, I wrote, oh, you can totally post. You can do that. Your post was defensive. Next time, just say, check out these awesome comics. Don't say, women are funny, okay? Get over it. And then we're still, I wrote, I wasn't offended and I promised my tone was casual, like we're at a bar. I realize this is a bad medium for jabs. You know, I'm sure you're a good dude. And then Larry says, yeah, sorry if I offended you, Owen. God, you comics are sensitive, or actors, or whatever, or beer drinkers. Whatever. All right, so this keeps going. I keep saying your name is Larry, you're a rapist. Larry says, I don't know you and have no reason to believe you're funny. And then he says, you're in LA, go to an open mic, tip. For big laughs, pretend the mic is a penis. I wrote, I don't live in LA, Larry. Tip, pretend your penis is your penis and actually have sex with a human being before you commit suicide. Larry said, I went by your Facebook page, lives in LA. I suppose you're the type of person who's actually 4 years older than you say. I wrote, so then why did you say open mics when you can also see I've done several specials and I headline? Tip, change your name if you ever want to work around children. All right, so anyway, we keep going and then we become friends. So then this dude, Tim, jumps in and says, the South Park season has Cartman doing a very similar thing to this post. And then the original guy says, I didn't know that till this post. And then Larry said, that changes things. I would watch Owen's special now. And then Tim said, I thought the same thing. And then I said, it's almost word for word. And then I posted a picture. Yeah, so we became friends. And then this dude, William, just says, this was the strangest roast I've ever virtually attended. Yeah, that's it. Isn't that funny? I wrote, you guys thought I was being a dick for no reason. The episode just aired. And then Larry said, never mind, I take it all back. You're very funny. And then I faved that. Okay, why did I just read that entire thing? Because, like, why not? Like, why not just say what the fuck you think? Like, you think anything's going to happen if you do? Doesn't matter. People are liars. Like, the guy who wrote that about the woman clearly sees women as someone that needs to be, like, coddled. And they don't. We're about to have a female president of the United States. Okay, here's a joke I tried that didn't work. But it's funny.
But, you know, my wife's a freak. That's a good thing. Like, we have really freaky, nasty sex. And, like, lately we've been into this real kinky thing, you know, when I'm about to put it in and I'm going to turn off my phone, she's like, no, leave it on. I want the NSA to listen. That's the joke. The joke is it's about personal privacy. I just want to make it about my dick so it didn't sound scary.
Yeah, so that really didn't work. Someone said, can you make the NSA funny? And I tried. You know, the joke is that like, to be a real freak, you just leave your phone on and let yourself get listened to. This is one I kind of verbally out loud, why didn't they laugh with the audience?
You know, but black people need white consultants because they sometimes misstep. You know, my black friend called me as his white consultant. He's like, are you guys born liking Taylor Swift, or do you like learn to like Taylor Swift? I'm like, baby, we're born this way. Like, we don't choose this life. This life chooses us, man. Is it funnier if I say Lady Gaga since that's the song? Yeah, but it was a true statement. Like, one of my black friends really was like, why do you guys like Taylor Swift so much? So I got to be honest to reality, but it's funny if I say Lady Gaga because you're born this way. These are the conundrums I face as a comedian.
Yeah, like one of my buddies said, like, why do white people all like Taylor Swift? And baby, I was born this way is a funny punchline because it also kind of implies what gay people go through, where it's like, it's not a choice. It's a whatever, you know, all that shit. But Lady Gaga said that. So I like to stay honest, but whatever. Okay, here's a joke I wrote. I'm working on about my dad. This is a joke about transparency. Because I got to make this shit funny. I get to like rant and stuff on this podcast. But in real life, I have to keep the crowd entertained. So check this out.
You guys are awesome. That's pretty new. Thank you very much. I like people a lot. I don't like magicians and politicians, though. Those are the only two groups I don't like. I don't like being tricked. I don't like tricks. That's the first time I ever looked at my dad without respect is when he did a magic trick for me when I was six, and he pulled a quarter out of his ear. He's like, look, Owen. And I'm like, oh my God. And he's like, yeah. And then he's like, all right, I'm going to work. I'm like, why would you go to work? Let's clock into this. I'm like, you can make a quarter every 3 seconds. Like, we can just fill everything with quarters. We never have to work again. You have a quarter maker in your ear. And he's like, no, there's a limit to quarters. I was like, explain to me, why? Why can't you make more quarters? He's like, it's a trick. And I just looked at him like, fuck you. It's the same with politicians. When you watch these debates, neither side will talk about anything. You know, you can literally be like, what's up with privatized prisons and the mounting debt? They're like, grabbing pussies, emails, like, answer one fucking question. I don't even know how to grab a pussy. That doesn't even make sense. There's nothing to grab. It's an empty space. Nah, pussy.
So I'm in the deep south here. I'm in Atlanta. So whenever I'm making fun of, like, most comedians are very left-wing. And by left-wing, I don't mean liberal in the classic sense, which I am, but, like, almost democratic propagandists, which I'm not. I'll read something else in a second here about that whole thing. But people get very uncomfortable with race. I'll show you a perfect example of, just listen to this.
But we had a good time, you know? I respected that about them. They're almost like brown Irish people. They're so culturally similar. It's hilarious. They're Catholic, family-oriented, work hard, good social structures. They're just browner. I like that. My wife's half Mexican. It's a good combo because I need the color and they need the height, so it's like a win-win. It's gonna brown me up a little bit, raise them up a little bit. We got the future right there. But LA, I was in LA 12 years.
See, I could only release the tension when I said that I am married to a half Mexican because they're so uncomfortable. Mexicans are very similar to Irish people. If you look at the value system, Catholic, drink, you know, work hard, like laughs, big families. So, but when you just say any race, people go, oh, you can't say that because we're trained this way. It's a training. So this leads me to this next thing. My newest passion is trying to deprogram people that, like, just saying a race or a gender. These comedians are funny, okay? Just because they're women, okay? Okay? I know so many women that are, like, getting specials so early they don't even have material. Like, the biggest... Listen to me and John Roy several months ago debate this. And one of the biggest things that he claimed, he goes, listen, women don't even have the material ready when they get their first hour special. I'm like, listen to yourself. Like, they get so many opportunities. All right, forget it. All right, I'm not going down that rabbit hole. All right, listen to this. Making the president black or female is brilliant. It's so brilliant. I wish there was an award we could give the establishment. Did your little antennas go up right now? Were you like, oh, where's this white guy going with this? People whose career is to talk truth to power, or at least make fun of power, can now be labeled as racist or sexist. Unfortunately, or fortunately, depending on where you're sitting, this will not last. Obama ran against a Mormon whose dad was in a sex cult in Mexico. Mormons, by the way, believe when you die, you get your own planet. Jesus lived in Florida, and your underwear is magical. This Mormon was also so rich and out of touch that he once said struggling was having to sell stock. That dude almost won. So the establishment got an orange-faced buffoon with a history of sexual assault, no knowledge of how politics work, or a ridiculous reality show, insane hair, no filter, presumably because of nonstop amphetamine ingestion, and that dude almost won. In 4 years, the establishment will have to put up Charles Manson to try and get people to vote for the establishment candidate. They both are technically, but white males don't have the magic underpants of women or black people. Hillary Clinton is pro-war. By the way, look, this is all, this isn't blogs, this isn't YouTube videos, this is policy, this is fact. Pro-war, pro-mass incarceration. We have more people in our prisons in America than any other country in the entire world. She's anti-marijuana. She's in favor of a barrier between us and Mexico. She just didn't call it a wall. She called it a barrier. She cheated during the debates. That is confirmed. That is absolutely non-debatable. The one thing that isn't debatable is that she cheated during the debates. She's pro-Wall Street. She's corrupt. She lied to the FBI under oath, all confirmed. And we still view her as our leader we support simply because, next to Trump, she is Martin Luther King Jr. Hillary Clinton is awful. But people are so brainwashed that me saying that triggers an immediate response that I'm either anti-woman or pro-Trump, which I am obviously neither. Hillary Clinton has sat in the big house on the Hill lying and stealing from us for decades. They all have. We are $20 trillion in debt. Fact. Bernie Sanders wanted to reform that, and it is confirmed that the Democrats and Hillary Clinton conspired with the mainstream media to oust him. This is very, very known information, yet I see all of this "I'm with her" bullshit. Listen, vote for Hillary. I'm not going to say not to. I'm not even going to say not to vote for Trump. It's your vote. I don't even want to know. I get why you want to vote for Hillary to make sure Trump doesn't get in there. But never criticize me, a comedian whose job was supposedly to speak truth to power, for not voting. Remember when comedians mocked the government? Remember when we mocked power? That's all flipped. Now comedians all say, "I'm with her." They almost have it fucking tattooed on their stupid foreheads. As the great, and I now believe he is great, Malcolm X said, the only way to get people to run to a fox is to show them a wolf. As Malcolm's political life matured, he seemed to step away from hating white people, which is why I originally did not like him, and more towards criticizing the establishment. At that point, he was murdered, and it was labeled, you guessed it, racist. Same with Martin Luther King Jr. You can rant all day long about desegregation, but as soon as you point out that the only color that matters is green, you are quickly shot by a lone gunman motivated by, quote-unquote, racism. You think maybe that's a false narrative? When every mainstream comedian has the same opinion, no, there is something wrong and the system is rigged to make you want a thief and a liar to represent you. The only comedian I can really think of speaking against this is Jimmy Dore. Yeah, watch his YouTube videos and listen to his podcast. He's really into Stein, which I don't know enough about, but whatever. I'm not in anybody. All I'm saying is comedians do not, and they're not allowed to attack Hillary Clinton, or else you're seen as sexist, and you like Trump, and you rape people. I'm a huge history fan, and just know that this doesn't last. Nations either fail or reform, but we are at a tipping point. We're eating those member berries. Member? We're at that tipping point where we will either continue filling the forest with dead wood until it burns us all, or we listen to a comedian like me who has income from a condo rental in LA and does lumberjack work with his brother. So I no longer have to pretend that the gunmetal I taste when they hold a 45 in my mouth is raspberries. No. Have a great day, everyone, and just remember terms like racist and sexist are now just ways to shut down criticism of the biggest war machine in human history. Enjoy your day. That's right. America's the biggest war machine in the history of humans. And for some reason, we're not allowed to criticize Obama or Hillary Clinton because they are black and they are female. That is the only reason. So, again, I'm not one of these anti-Obama, anti-Hillary. When confronted with the other option, I'm not. I would run towards either of them when you put them next to one of these, you know, Bible-thumping assholes, but don't think that they're the right choice. Don't think that we don't need reform. But the problem is, wanting school reform doesn't mean listening to the kid in the trench coat with the shotgun. That's Trump. But I still believe Trump is working for them. Who gives a fuck? All right, ladies and gentlemen, that has been a double episode of My Jokes as well as South Park. Because the thing about this week's South Park is it was this exact thing. You got to watch it. The member berries are taking over because we are at that tipping point. Our nation and our culture does not like the government. Want me to tell you every single belief I have? And as I say this, think to yourself, what do you think as well? Okay, I am pro-choice. I'm pro-gay marriage. I am pro-legalization of marijuana. I want to let nonviolent drug offenders out of prison and get them into treatment. I want to deprivatize prisons. I'm not anti-gun, but, you know, the crazy assault rifles should be difficult to get. I think that America is overreached overseas. I think that if our military is keeping countries safe, we should be paid for it. If not, fuck it. I think that we're hypocritical. I think that you can't stop ISIS if you're in bed with Saudi Arabia. I think that we need to develop cleaner resources, but at the same time, not kid ourselves to the fact we still are dependent on fossil fuels. I think that I don't even believe race exists. I think women should get paid leave when they're mothers for 2 years from the government. I think that, I can go on and on about every single thing. I'm against the death penalty. I think there needs to be healthcare reform. Of course, I would love to have universal healthcare, but the current thing that we have is an absolute fucking monstrosity. Okay, as I'm talking, you're probably like, yeah, I agree with that. No way, I actually agree with that. Both sides, Democrats and Republicans, both of you are probably like, yeah, I totally agree with that. I'm not anti-religious, but I'm also not anti-science. I don't think that schools have the right to go either direction. I think that they should teach what we feel is, you know, factually correct and let people worship what they want at home. That's it. And want to know why you all agree, even if you're on different sides of the political spectrum? Because everyone thinks this way. 90% of the population agrees with all this shit. So why don't they do it? Because they need to keep us angry at each other. Saturday Night Live had an unbelievable sketch where Tom Hanks was like this redneck, and it was called Black Jeopardy. And as the sketch went on, you realize that they had very similar opinions on everything. You got to watch it. I'll give it no justice. But like, poor white people and poor black people are almost fucking identical in their cultures and like what they believe. So for me to criticize the establishment, a group that is plunging us into debt, lying to us, and when they say like, we will make money here, or like, yeah, fracking will make us money. No, it makes like 9 people money. Doesn't make us money. Doesn't trickle down. Those senators and congressmen and the president, they don't give a fuck what you think. None. Zero. Zip. You can only vote with your money. So vote with your money and buy my beer coasters at hugepianist.com. Sorry for being so intense this one, but the election is just a few weeks away. And we're at a fever pitch. And my point is, listen, Hillary will win, but there will be no relief. None. You think this is going to end? It's only going to end when people demand a reality check. And the only people doing it right now are South Park and a handful of comedians with balls or ovaries. And that can only happen when your income is not dependent on multinational entertainment conglomerates, because they all want the same fucking anger to keep going. Whether or not they claim to be right wing or left wing, it's all the same battle that keeps you distracted from the fact you're being lied to and cheated. Is your life good? Of course it is. Was Amy's life good when I was lying to her? Yes. I was still really nice, still really fun to be around. But when you lie to someone, you make them crazy. Please subscribe to the podcast, share it, comment on it, spread that shit around like butter on a penis or a vagina. Coconut oil if you're vegan. I will be November. I'm all over the place. I'm doing a college in Oklahoma. And then the 4th and 5th, I will be doing Buffalo at Helium. And then I'm at Levity Live. I'm also at Brea, back in LA, yo, Brea Improv. And then Thanksgiving. And then after that, I got some more shit. So get tickets at improv.com or Google it. I think Google still works. After today, I'm in such a fucking bad mood. I don't know if you can tell, but people seem to enjoy the bad moods. Email me, whydidn'tthelaugh@gmail.com. If you have any comments about anything I said, I love learning more things. I also need to understand how my iPhone works. So if you know how to free up my my little situation where it says I've used 58 gigs when I've clearly used like 20, what the fuck is this world? Yeah, and spread this shit on Twitter with hashtag WDTL. Next week, I will do a much more concise episode. I just need more time. Don't we all? I love you. Stay good to each other. Stay hydrated and change those socks.
Hey, it's comedian Michael Loftus, and I'm here to tell you about my podcast, The Loftus Party, right here on the Sideshow Network. You know, one of the great things about being a comedian in America is you automatically get a podcast. And mine? I'm taking on politics, pop culture, and the world as I see it. You guys, it's an election year. There's plenty to laugh about. There's plenty to joke about. And if you want to go to another podcast where they're ripping up the Constitution and they're trampling, you're at the wrong one. Mine is a lot more fun. So here's what you can do. Join me for the Loftus Party. It's Michael Loftus every Monday. You download that, you subscribe, you give it a bunch of stars on iTunes, or you check us out on the sideshownetwork.tv/theLoftusParty. It's amazing. Loftus, party of one. Your table is now ready.